I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome into Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell, coming to you inside the Quicken Loans Studios right here in Houston, Texas, and always ready to deliver the biggest and best in sports. In fact, tonight we've got a very special show. I had a chance earlier in the week to head up to Dallas. I had a sit-down exclusive interview with Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle. And with more than 1 week away remaining until the NBA postseason gets underway, every game, every outing has special meaning and can impact the standings. So tonight we are going to kick things off by heading to New York. We're going to visit with longtime NBA columnist Mitch Lawrence, who you can check out at NBCNewYork.com, also Forbes.com, and NBA Sirius Radio. He is the triple threat. Good evening, Mitch. It's nice to have you with us at YSR.
Well, thanks for having me on. How are you?
I'm doing great. It is Friday night, and so we are anxious to get your thoughts on the playoff picture and dissect the remaining schedules. But first and foremost, let's highlight one of your most recent posts, because good news for the Indiana Pacers and the NBA with the return of Paul George after he suffered that horrific broken leg last August by playing for Team USA. And I know that one of the themes this year in the NBA has been the injury crisis all season long. Do you think he made the right decision by coming back?
Yeah, I think he did, and I think the Pacers did too, Elissa, because, you know, he was ready to come back. He had proven in practice that he wasn't limping around, and then that leg was sufficiently healed. Of course, he had a second procedure, which nobody really talked about, but the Pacers revealed that he did in October. That apparently helped the healing. Let's hope, obviously, it served its purpose. And, yeah, I think it's important for him from a mental standpoint to play the remaining regular season games of this season, and then we'll see if the Pacers make the playoffs. Even if they don't, I think it's good for him to come back, get the last few remaining games under his belt, and then he'll be all set to go next season.
Absolutely, Mitch. It is great to see Paul George back. And I've got to ask you this. I mean, what kind of impact can he have with just 1 week of the regular season left?
Well, I think he can have a lot of impact for Indiana because, obviously, he's one of the top players. Now, he's not going to be physically in the greatest of shape, conditioning-wise and everything. But in terms of his skills, in terms of the pressure he puts on the opposing court at both ends, I can think he could actually boost Indiana here and help them. He's a top player. He'll be held back. Obviously, he hasn't played in a long, long time. But it's one of those things where just his presence on the court, I think, would help quite a bit.
You know, my takeaways from reading through your article was I got a sense that Paul George, that he really wanted to accelerate his return. He wanted to come back sooner.
Well, yeah, like a lot of guys, you know, who are out for long periods. We've seen it before with guys like Kobe Bryant and other players who have been injured,
uh-huh.
The elite players and all players. These are guys who sometimes try to really push the envelope in terms of that. But Larry Bird and the Pacer people were very, very aware of what Paul needed to be when he came back. You know, doctors at one point said he was ready to play, but what the Pacers saw on the practice court was he was still favoring that right leg a little bit until he proved to them in full contact practices that he was definitely ready for a game situation. They weren't going to let him back on the court. But I think it's natural for an athlete, especially Paul. He's a young guy. He's still learning a lot about the ropes. This is his first real major injury, Lisa. This is the type of thing which they had to be careful with him about and basically hold him back when he wanted to come back.
Well, and you have to think about, too, just mentally. I mean, this really has to give him a boost in terms of his psyche. I mean, the season's almost over, okay? We don't know for sure if the Pacers are going to make the playoffs, but, you know, you want to go into a next year knowing at least, hey, you got some reps in and you feel good about yourself.
No question. You raise a great point. I mean, it would be something if he couldn't play and he had all summer with that still on his
right.
mind. And that would rest heavy on his mind, as you know, would sit heavy there.
Yeah.
But now he knows by coming back and playing, and, you know, we don't know what he's going to do in the last few games, but being out on the court, let's say he is successful, and okay, he has some setbacks here and there in terms of just his play, I think that's still a major hurdle that he's cleared, and they won't have to clear that next season. He'll be ready to go.
Okay, so let's talk some hypotheticals. The Pacers say they do make the playoffs. What would his return mean for the Eastern Conference playoffs?
Well, I'll tell you what, whoever plays Indiana, that would be they'd kind of be a pain in the neck because you have an experienced team
right.
of guys who have been to a couple of Eastern Conference finals in a row, guys like not just Paul George, but George Hill and David West and Roy Hibbert. You have a good coach in Frank Vogel, who's done an outstanding job this year. I think that would set them up to be a tough out. I think they give anybody, whether, you know, wherever they finish, whether they have to face, let's say, an Atlanta or a Cleveland Cavaliers, I think that is a team you do not want to play because of their playoff hardened. They've been through a lot of battles, and those guys know what it takes to win. I still think that they're, you know, it would be a big upset if they got out of the first round, but you don't want to see them if you're playing in the playoffs in the East.
You're listening to the voice of Mitch Lawrence, longtime NBA columnist, now writing for NBCNewYork.com and also Forbes.com. And speaking of injuries that have taken place throughout the course of the NBA season, we talk about Paul George, you know, leading into the season, but what about Derrick Rose? I mean, do you ever anticipate that he will return to that MVP caliber type of player?
You know what? I hope he does, and I think we all hope he does, but I just don't think I see it at this point. You know, he's going to have to kind of change the way he plays and go back to what he was, at least try to be in terms of the attacking player. You know, over the last, you know, before he got hurt here, when he came back from his most recent knee injury, or the previous one, I should say, you know, he was shooting a lot of three-point shots, much more of a perimeter game. Not at all attacking, being very, very reticent about going to the basket. He needs to get kind of back to that Derrick Rose because he's not a very good outside shooter. Even though he puts up a lot of three-point shots, he shoots less than 30%. And effectiveness-wise, I think that's what the player will have to be, returning to that old Derrick Rose. Now, whether he can do that or not and sustain it, that's the big question. I just happen to think after this many knee operations and surgeries, Alyssa,
yeah.
I don't think he'll be able to be the player he once was.
Okay, let's reflect back on Wednesday night. Your impressions of his return in that game against Orlando after a 20-game absence.
Yeah, you know, it was tough because they lost a brutal game to a bad team. They shouldn't be at this stage of the year. Look, he was shaky, you know, at points. He came out and made some shots. He seemed to play well at first, and then as the game went on, his play suffered. He played less than 20 minutes. He didn't play less, you know, 17 minutes of the game. And his three-point shooting and his perimeter shooting were just not there. High turnovers. A game you kind of expect there'd be struggles. He's playing with some players on the court. Mirotić, who he's new to, who hasn't played with much. So you kind of expect that. It was just one of those things where it was good to see his get his feet wet here and then move on from there.
Much more NBA talk coming your way right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show, as we are visiting with Mitch Lawrence, longtime NBA columnist. We're going to step aside. We will be right back. We are so glad you made it a point to join us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am your host, Elissa Walker-Campbell. We are interactive. We absolutely love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter, at E Radio Sports. You can always go back and listen to our podcast page at yahoosportsradio.com/podcast. We're going one-on-one right now with Mitch Lawrence. He's the longtime NBA columnist. And as I said at the top of our show, hey, you can check out his work at NBCNewYork.com and also Forbes.com. Right now we're zeroing in on the Eastern Conference, talking about the Chicago Bulls. Give us your view and your belief on what they might be able to accomplish this year, Mitch.
Well, I tell you what, it's been one of these years where I just don't know. I picked them to go to the finals. I think other people did. It was a lot was contingent on Derrick Rose's health. But they also had gotten, I thought, a major addition in Pau Gasol, who I rated right behind LeBron James as being the most important free agent signing among the Eastern Conference teams. I love the Gasol addition. But the year's been so disjointed and messed up, and they've only had their projected starting lineup out there for, 20 games or so. And, you know, a quarter of a season, that doesn't get it done. They've had no continuity and stability and consistency because Noah has been hurt, and he's been on a minutes restriction, and Rose has had his problems. I just think it's going to be one of those years where they just don't you know, fire on all cylinders when they have to. And to me, I'm looking at more of a short playoff run than what I expected.
Okay, well, a team that is firing on all cylinders and they've got that continuity and stability that you're talking about is the Cavs. What is your belief in terms of what they might be able to do? Because they are playing much better basketball the second half of the season.
Absolutely. I mean, they've been, especially offensively, but even defensively, they made those great trades early in the year. They reconfigured their team. They got a rim protector in Mozgov who closes down the paint for them. But it all starts with their MVP, at least their former MVP, LeBron James. You know, he's won it four times. He's in the hunt this year. I've got him ranked behind Harden and Curry. But LeBron, you know, for the first quarter of the season till, you know, late December, he seemed to be off his game mentally and physically. But I'll tell you what, he's been as good as anybody, if not better, over the last few months. And it all starts with him. And, I, you know, right now it looks like they'll get to the NBA Finals. Of course, we're a long way between now and June. But LeBron's been sensational, and they've got a lot of weapons there, and their defense has gotten better. So I right now would pick them over Atlanta in the East.
Do you have any concern, Mitch, in terms of the playoff experience when you got a head coach like David Blatt or Kyrie Irving or Kevin Love? I mean, they don't have playoff experience.
Correct. You know, usually you like to see a team that's been through the playoff battles and had some scars and maybe come up short like the Pacers have been the last few years. You know, those type of teams sometimes make the next jump, and you want to see that. Here, the Cavaliers are kind of a new team with the big components being, you know, critical and new. And LeBron's, you know, he comes after going to four straight finals in Miami. He's obviously new. Kyrie Irving's never been in the playoffs. Kevin Love never was in the playoffs out in Minnesota. Have a lot of different pieces. And, of course, their coach has never coached in the playoffs, David Blatt. So, yeah, that's the big concern, I think, and that's, you know, how they're all going to come together and who's going to perform under the heat of the playoff lights and everything. That's a whole other deal. We're just going to have to see how that unfolds. Obviously, they have the talent, but do they have, you know, do they know what it's going to take to win in the playoffs, or are they just going to be learning this year? This might be a year where if you're playing them, this would be a good time to get them, because if everybody's back next year, Lisa, then you could see, you know what, they'll have used this experience to help them next year.
Well, one of the surprise teams in the NBA this year has been the Atlanta Hawks. How deep do they go?
I think they can get to a conference finals. I think what helps Atlanta is that obviously teams like Chicago and Washington and Toronto, which might have been tougher outs for them, they all seem to have been slipping and sliding here in the second half or throughout the season. We've talked about Chicago, the Rose situation. Who knows if they'll ever come together. I mean, Washington has not had a lot of great moments here. They've struggled against teams with playoff, you know, winning records or teams that are in the playoffs, trouble on the road. And Toronto just isn't the same when Kyle Lowry's got back problems. And those are three major Eastern Conference teams that you figure Atlanta might have to figure out. Now it looks like really the only team in their way would be the Cavaliers. And Atlanta's done a masterful job all year long. I mean, with their offensive system, defensively, you know, they don't have a big man, they don't have a lot of great size, but they play so well together, and the chemistry is great. And, you know, let's not forget, last year, this team did lose in the first round, should have won that first round series against Indiana, lost in seven, and so that could help them this year in terms of having a playoff star, which they'll use to remember in terms of how they need to approach this playoffs this year.
Okay, Mitch Lawrence with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Of course, Mitch is joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. And I want to digress for just a moment. I was watching the Mavs broadcast the other night. What was it, Wednesday night? And I heard Jeff Van Gundy talk about, when are we going to see in the NBA the best 16 teams in the playoff? When do you think this is going to take place?
Hopefully very soon. Because what's happening is, you know, and it's been going on for about the last 5 years, where you're going to have one or two or three teams in the East that make the playoffs with a losing record, and they're going to get in the playoffs. And then out West, there's going to be maybe a team or two that's going to be on the outside looking in, that's going to be in the lottery, that won't make the playoffs with a winning record. And to me, that's wrong. I have been a traditionalist in the past, thinking, well, you know, everything does go in cycles, but we're in a bad cycle now. And I think it's important for the league. You know, the playoffs are the crown jewels of the sport. This is when you want your best 16 teams in it. So I think what you should do is, you know, take your divisional winners and then take your, you know, the teams that fill out the playoffs, regardless of their conference affiliation, figure out the travel and the ins and outs from there. But to me, it doesn't help the product and the perception when you have teams with losing records, especially in one conference that consistently can't get out of its own way. I would hope the sooner the better in terms of that whole issue.
Okay, Mitch, we are quickly running out of time. Let's head back into the Western Conference. Talk to me about the San Antonio Spurs. It seems like they're the best team in the West right now. I mean, they're so hot. Are they your favorite?
Yeah, they are. I mean, you know what? I thought they'd get back to the finals this year. I didn't think Golden State would have such this unbelievable season they've had. The Spurs know what it takes to win. They know all about that. They've been to two finals in a row. Of course, they're the defending champs. Everybody's playing at a high level. They're going down the stretch of the season like you want to go into the playoffs. You want to go on an upbeat with the arrow pointing up. And so from Tim Duncan to Tony Parker and Kawhi Leonard, last year's final MVP, and Ginobili, I mean, everybody's playing great. Well coached, we all know that. So, yes, I would say right now, to me, they are the favorite to win the title.
Well, I'll tell you what, Mitch, I really marvel at Coach Popovich and just how he figures out ways to preserve careers, and he really monitors those minutes. I mean, he really is brilliant at that.
Absolutely. And you know he's brilliant because everybody else now is copying him. You know, everybody else wants to do what the Spurs model, copy the Spurs model. People have to remember that, you know, the minutes weren't limited down in San Antonio until well after those guys had played, you know, about 200 playoff games, guys like Duncan and Parker and Ginobili. But Popovich gets the most out of his troops. They, you know, it's a situation, like I said, they know what it takes to win at this time of year coming up in April, May, and June. That's why you really have to like what that team is all about.
And he's got to be really excited with his emerging star, Kawhi Leonard, 20 points against the Houston Rockets, 9 for 15, and he was, talk about plus minus, he was a plus 13.
Sensational player. We saw last year he out-battled LeBron, outplayed LeBron in the finals.
True.
And the Spurs have something special there, I'm sure. As free agency unfolds, we'll see him stay in San Antonio.
Do you think he gets enough credit?
Leonard?
Yes.
You know what? I think that's growing. I think he's a guy who a lot of people are seeing more and more and giving him more credit for. But, you know, it's hard down there when you got Duncan still playing a tremendous level. This guy is an iconic player. He's one of the all-time greats. And so he casts a large shadow down there, not just in terms of his play, but his leadership. And then, of course, Tony Parker is what makes the whole thing go, for my money. And Ginobili is obviously part of that troika, that famous troika. So it is hard to kind of elbow your way into that when you're going against some of these all-time greats.
Okay, the 2015 NBA playoffs, they are just a week away. We've been going one-on-one with Mitch Lawrence, longtime NBA columnist. Check out his work at NBCNewYork.com and also Forbes.com. Mitch, love listening to you on NBA Radio, too. Thank you so much.
Appreciate having me. Thanks.
You bet. Stick around. Much more NBA talk coming your way right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. And remember to listen to the show on the go. Just download the Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can also listen on any computer or smart device by going to StreamYSR.com. That's StreamYSR.com. Normal data rates apply. Well, here we are, just a week away from the start of the 2015 NBA playoffs. And earlier in the week, I had the opportunity to have a sit-down interview, an exclusive one, with Dallas Mavericks head coach Rick Carlisle. So, over the past couple of days, you've had an opportunity to kind of regroup. What has been the focus over the on Monday and Tuesday?
Well, the first focus is health. We've got some guys that are banged up right now. Chandler Parsons is out with a knee. Rondo was out with a bit of a scare yesterday, but he was back practicing again today, so he's okay. And Richard Jefferson has a jammed toe, which kept him completely out of practice Monday, but today he was able to do, you know, most of it, and I think he's going to be okay. So getting those guys back is, you know, for today's practice was key, and there's plenty to work on this time of year.
Rick, there's four games left in the regular season. What would you like to accomplish over these next few games?
Well, we want to get playing better. That's the first thing. And a couple of days of practice should help that. But we, you know, all the teams we're playing are either really good playoff caliber teams or other teams that are improved. Yeah, we're going to have our challenges cut out for us. And hard games this time of year is probably a good thing because it gets you ready for high levels of competition. With Phoenix coming in here tomorrow night, you know, they're a team that's given us a lot of problems, you know, last couple of years. They're very physical, young, athletic, all those kinds of things. We got to be ready for that one. And then we go out on the road and We play three teams that don't have great records, but they're all playing better.
No team in the NBA has faced a tougher stretch of games and schedule since the All-Star break. than the Dallas Mavericks. Throughout this period, I mean, you've faced Oklahoma City, Houston, and Golden State. What have you learned about your team?
Well, just that we need to be healthy, number one. Number two, that the West is very difficult. And again, I think this stretch of games goes a long way toward preparing us for a first-round opponent, and I don't know who that's going to be. We have not officially clinched yet, but I expect that we will clinch the seventh position. And, you know, whoever it is, it doesn't matter that much as much who it is. It's how we're playing. And so right now, you know, we got to focus on ourselves and get our game up to where it needs to be.
Well, you're such a resourceful coach. It's probably been fun to kind of dig into your treasure chest and tinker with some of your combinations and open up that playbook and try some new things out before, as you said, once you clinch a playoff berth.
I haven't done that much tinkering, you know, unless you call guys in the training room trying to get healthy tinkering. I mean, that's been the biggest thing. You know, Mari Stoudemire has been playing for over a month now, and he's done a good job for us. But there's still things, you know, that we can catch him up on a little bit with our offensive and defensive schemes. You know, other than that, we're trying to get playing with a certain pace, with a certain level of aggression, and at the same time keep turnovers and mistakes down. So those are our challenges right now. And, you know, this is the time of year when you want to be challenged.
I really want to zero in on your bench and what they've shown you. You just mentioned Amari Stoudemire. You got to love, he's averaging 21 minutes per game, but just kind of that old school style of play that he brings.
Well, he's given us a real inside presence, you know, on the low block, in the paint. He's scoring the ball with extreme efficiency. I'm a little surprised we're not seeing more double teams on him. But I think just people, you know, these days just don't want to give up the threes. And so, you know, we got to keep pounding it into him. And he also can shoot the mid-range shot very well. So we've got him picking and popping a little bit to kind of keep a balance of inside and outside. But he's been a real positive for the club. And, you know, in the locker room, the guys really respect him because he's had a great career.
Well, he's a great leader, but you got to love when he's on the low block. I mean, he embraces contact. I mean, he's a guy not afraid to stick it on the deck, power dribble, and take it to the rack. I mean, he loves contact, and he thrives in those situations.
Yeah, he's extremely strong.
Right.
But he also has the footwork. He has the ability to take the hits, absorb contact, and still finish. And he has a high level of skill. You know, there aren't many guys that have this kind of physical strength in our game, that have the know-how in terms of footwork and the touch and skill, you know, to get the ball in the basket as consistently as him. So, again, we want to get him as many touches on the inside as we can, and we want to do it out of our flow game as much as possible.
What has he meant? He's a veteran player. What has he meant in terms of with the leadership that he's brought? I mean, this is already a veteran team, but he's vocal. He certainly voices his displeasure when he sees the guys need to pick it up a bit.
Well, you know, he has been animated at times, but, you know, he signed up to come here to win. There were a lot of teams that were trying to recruit him. And, you know, he wanted to come to Dallas to have a chance to win at a high level. And when there's been some frustration, he's been one of the guys to step up and speak up. And I respect that. And the guys in the locker room respect it. But he knows that this is a league of, you know, you got to do it and not talk about it. And so we haven't heard that much stuff from him and the other guys. It's really more about getting our game to where it needs to get to be able to win.
I'd love for you to shine the spotlight and talk about Al-Farouq Aminu. He has obviously been a glue guy and someone that you can certainly count on. And you can see as the season has gone along, his confidence has continued to build. And as a result, I mean, he's been acquiring more minutes.
Well, he's been one of our best plus-minus guys since the All-Star break. And actually, going back to a period of time before that, the reason is, you know, we're not a great rebounding team. Pound for pound, he's probably our best rebounder. He has high energy. He gets a lot of deflections and loose balls on defense and gets out in transition. And, you know, those are things that add up to, you know, good numbers in the plus-minus categories. As the season has gone along, he's become more and more important to us, both as a backup four and playing the three position some with Dirk and Stoudemire. And so we got to keep developing it. The exciting thing about him is, you know, he's still a young guy. He's 24, 25 years old, and he's got a lot of upside and a long way to go. And his outside shot has improved. His game attack in the basket has improved. And the defense and rebounding has always been good.
Talking about areas of improvement, talk about your backcourt and just the progression of Rondo and Monte Ellis, and that they are proving that they can coexist together.
Yeah, I mean, look, they're both terrific players. They're both very good friends, too. And so they like playing together. And, you know, it's gone in a, you know, positive trending direction, really, since day one. And I just see it continuing to go that way. And we just got to get, you know, all of our chemistry stuff going the right way headed into the playoffs. And, you know, the starting guard position is a big part of that.
And obviously another big part of the Dallas Mavericks is Chandler Parsons. I just have to assume he's such a joy to coach. I mean, you're having the opportunity to work with one of the best young players in the league. What's it like?
Well, we love him. He's been terrific here. He's a great kid. He works hard. He's got a very diverse skill set. You know, I think he's known as more of a shooter. But really, his game is an all-around game. He runs extremely well. He puts it on the floor and can finish and make plays for other guys very well. And his shooting has continued to improve. So, you know, right now he's banged up with that right knee problem. And he's getting a little bit better and a little bit better. And the hope is we can get him back on the court soon. But in the meantime, you know, guys like RJ and Aminu got to step up and take up for his absence.
I've got to ask you this, Rick. What has the past 8 months been like, and perhaps the most challenging aspect of this season?
What's been the most challenging part of it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I don't know. It's the hard games this time of year, you know, has been the biggest thing for us. There are a lot of things that happen as the season goes along. You're going to face, you know, some injury things. You're going to face, you know, periods where, you know, it looks like you should be playing a lot better than you are and trying to figure it out. And then other times, you know, the adversity becomes success and you get playing well, and you got to avoid that sort of feeling that, hey, we got it figured out, because that's when you usually always get hit back in the face. So right now is a time where we are gaining some humility, no question, because these games are tough and we're not winning every one of them. But in the last five, you know, we've got an opportunity to keep pushing this thing, to keep competing, to keep working at chemistry, working on our transition game, our rebounding, all those kinds of things. And, you know, the playoffs will be here before you know it.
That's right, Dan. As the countdown is on for the 2015 NBA playoffs, Rick, always a pleasure to have you joining us at Yahoo Sports Radio. Good luck.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. The biggest and the best in sports right here at Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com. Welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I am Melissa Walker-Campbell inside the Quicken Loans Studios, and it is time for a recap on the men's NCAA tourney. Of course, Duke edges Wisconsin to win their fifth national championship. So let's go inside the huddle. Let's break down some of the X's and O's on Duke's big 68-63 win. It's a pleasure to have with us the contributor from Slam Magazine, and that is Lee Klein. How are you, Lee?
Doing great, and what a week, what a tournament we had. And Duke, Mike Krzyzewski, you know, the old dog, still knows how to do it. And got his title, number five, and probably, I'd say, improbable fashion. As Duke, generally one of the country's favorites, sort of slipped in the back door and found a way and dusted off a little used player named Grayson Allen.
Yeah.
And stole a national championship.
So, Lee, how does this year's team stack up against Coach K's previous four championships? I mean, he's been at Duke for 35 years.
I would say, you know, for freshman talent, this, you know, you have four incredible freshmen that played, you know, three that carried the team for the entire year, and one who played a pivotal role late in the season, specifically the championship game. I think this team just kept improving every week, and defensively came on strong. I think they were, before the tournament, around, you know, close to 100 in defensive efficiency, and through six games in the tournament, went from that around 100 mark all the way into, I think, 12 is where they finished. So to give you an idea, they played incredible defense when it mattered the most, and that was throughout the NCAA tournament.
Do you think, Coach K, this fifth title, it's his greatest work of what he's accomplished yet at this stage in his career?
I think in some ways what it shows is that he continues to evolve. He continues to find a way. He used zone defense in pivotal times in this championship game as well in the season. Some say he saved the season through the use of zone defense as well as his recruitment. I mean, he went out and he beat a lot of big schools for Tyus Jones and Okafor and Winslow. I mean, he showed again that he's still, when you talk about recruiting, you know, Duke is still amongst the kings there. And so in many ways, I felt that, this year is almost a rejuvenation of Coach K.
Well, there's never any drop-off when you talk about Duke, and you've already highlighted it several times, talking about this so impressive, this roster with these freshmen. Okafor, I mean, what do you see in terms of the long-term with the future? You see him coming out for the draft?
I think he'll definitely come out. Anytime you're a top three pick like he is, and whether he'll be one, two, you know, that's going to come down to some measurements and workouts and personal preference of teams. When you're a top three pick in the draft, well, you know, the gain to go back in college, if you will, from a pure basketball sense, is minimal compared to the risk that you take. Just by showing, you know, if you don't show as well and injury and the rest of it. So I think you will see him in the draft this June, and he'll be a top three pick.
Okay, Okafor, Winslow, and Jones, what kind of pros can these guys become?
Well, Tyus Jones probably, he'll have the toughest decision because Winslow will also be a top 10 pick, and he'll come out. Jones, you know, I don't know what he could do for an encore because
right.
He was so masterful during his NCAA tournament run. He hit so many big shots, made so many big plays in the clutch. It'll be hard for him to, if you will, go back to college after that and think that he could be more clutch and prove differently, where he'll be in the 20s as far as his draft status, which isn't, if you will, as sexy as Okafor and Winslow, who will be top 10 picks. But Jones, just incredible how, you know, when the chips were down, when they needed somebody to step up, this little freshman that, from Minnesota of all places was as big as there's ever been.
The contributor with Slam Magazine, Lee Klein, is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. He's joining us on our Progressive Insurance Celebrity Guest Line. Lee also is the owner and operates the prestigious 5-Star Basketball Camp. That's going to be getting underway here pretty soon, won't it, Lee?
Yeah, right. A couple weeks away from first weeks of 5-Star, and we're really excited about that. You know, working on the next crew, the passionate players who want to get their game so that they can one day have a shining moment. So we're looking forward to mid-June when we start up and working with kids who just want to get better.
Okay, so let's step back for a moment to the championship game. Wisconsin loses this close one to Duke. What was your reaction to head coach Bo Ryan? Just those post-game comments on the officiating, because he did have some sharp criticism.
It's almost the perfect, I would use that as a perfect example on why let's not interview coaches as soon as the game ends. Let's give them a chance to settle down and get calm and get better perspective. I think he came across poorly, and it's one thing to be frustrated, and let's keep this in mind. You know, Bo's not a young guy anymore. You know, Bo's probably seeing there's not many opportunities to make this type of run. He had a special crew. It's frustrating, but to come across sort of sour grapes, complaining about the officiating, taking shots at other teams' lack of seniors and that part, just was very petty and not his proudest of moments.
Well, I was going to say, did he have a legit argument? I mean, in the second half, you look at the free throw attempt, 16-3 edge in favor of Duke.
You know, the aggressor gets rewarded in basketball, and you'll see this, you know, time and time again, that, you know, though, if you're aggressive and you keep pushing and pushing, you know, there's only so many fouls people are going to call. After a while, that aggressive play becomes tolerated, and that's, you know, and that's, if you will, what happened, sort of the extending out Duke defense, why they won the game, making Wisconsin uncomfortable. A real reason for their success, but you know, the game, Wisconsin had the game. Okay, mm-hmm. They're up 9 within striking distance of the finish line. You got to put the game away, and they failed to do that. And that was no one's fault, but Wisconsin.
What turned the momentum in Duke's favor?
Season.
What turned the momentum in Duke's favor?
You know, interestingly enough, I just think. Energy, it almost in some ways reminded me of a boxing match. We had two heavyweights kind of slugging it for a while, and everyone's legs were sort of tired, and then Duke put in Grayson Allen, and he had energy, and he was alive. He was like a live wire there, and that sparked Duke's comeback. One, yes, he scored 16 points, but just that energy level and the activity became contagious and really helped carry Duke not only to get back in the game, but also to keep going and to win it.
Okay, so we hit on Duke, Wisconsin. Talk to me about Kentucky. Obviously, they lost their bid for perfection and spoiled their run at history. How disappointing was that?
Well, it just goes to show you, you know, unfortunately, it's championship or bust when you're talking about a program like Kentucky, that this incredible run, 38 straight wins, the start of season sort of becomes bittersweet if they don't cut down the nets. And that's it's sort of the double-edged sword when you're at such a successful program. And now you have the ramifications, guys declaring for the NBA draft and who's coming back and can you do it again. But in the end, you know, Kentucky's been to 4 Final Fours in the last 5 years, and that's made them, you know, if you will, the top program in college basketball. Mm-hmm. So as long as they keep that, keep getting to the Final Four, I think that's success.
The contributor with Slam Magazine, Lee Klein, has been with us tonight at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. We're getting ready for much more tonight at the Big E Sports Show. You stay close.